The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined now by Scott Lucas, Professor and Political Analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College in Dublin. Scott, good morning.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
So what is your reaction to the events as they unfolded? Earlier on the programme, we said it was shocking, but in some ways not surprising.
I think that's a starting point for me, Pat. But within moments after the shooting, it just simply magnified concern about where my native country is going. And if I guess if I can come off of Simon Turney's excellent report to go from the past to now to the future, you have this history of political violence in the United States. I remember some of those episodes clearly that he was describing. And more recently, you've had, even though presidents have not faced assassination attempts, you had the U.S. Senator Gabby Giffords of Arizona, who was critically wounded in 2011. Six people died in that mass shooting. In 2017, it was the Republican Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana who was seriously wounded. 2020, kidnapping plot against Gretchen Whitmer, the Michigan governor. And of course, in January 2021, we had the political violence of an invasion of the Capitol with, you know, happened to be supporters of Donald Trump who were actually walking through the halls calling for the execution of legislators like the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and even the Vice President Mike Pence.
And of course, the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband,
Paul Pelosi, at the end of 2023 by an intruder who wanted to kill or maim Nancy Pelosi. She wasn't there, fractured Paul Pelosi's skull. What puts this into immediate context is that Donald Trump, who just narrowly escaped being the victim of political violence on Saturday, has actually risen based on a politics of violence. He's actually in a way intersected with what we talked about. He's called for violence against hecklers at his rallies. He's called for violence against other demonstrators, for example, those of Black Lives Matter. He's called for violence against migrants and asylum seekers. He's called for violence against journalists. He's called for violence against the left. It's part of his modus operandi. And what I was struck by, Pat, and I was on air with a British outlet when the shooting occurred, as the video played, you've got to get the reference to that iconic image again and again of Trump raising his fist to the sky with the American flag behind him. It's the iconic soundbite just before that, because as Trump gets up off the ground, he's trying to get space amongst the Secret Service personnel. He's shouting, wait, 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 whether or not that's to put his shoes on or to put his arm in the air to get the image that he wants. And then he says to the crowd, fight, fight, fight. Why to me was that significant? Because it's almost exactly the same words that Donald Trump uttered on January the 6th, 2021, outside the White House, as he called on his supporters to march on the Capitol building and block the peaceful transfer of power to Joe Biden. That has been rode back in the last 24 hours a bit by the Trump people. Oh, he's promoting unity, et cetera. I'm not persuaded. My worry here is that given an American politics in which the issues, including the issue of gun control, have almost simply been pushed aside in favor of spectacle, whether Trump and his supporters, some of whom almost immediately came out and assailed the left, Joe Biden, Democrats, the media, radicals, whether he and his supporters will continue to play on the politics of violence, playing Trump as a victim of that, all the way to November's election.
The question of who might be advising Donald Trump, you know, after the debate debacle for Joe Biden, Trump was uncharacteristically quiet, spending time on the golf course. So there were heads around him saying, look, you don't have to do anything. This is doing you good without you interfering. In the same way, will those wise heads say to him, listen, you're the hero of the hour. We've got the iconography of the fist in the air, the bloodied ear and so on. We have all that. You don't need to gild the lily. You don't need to come out with fight and talk.
Except he wasn't completely quiet during that period when all the speculation was around whether Joe Biden would stand aside. He just wasn't noticed as much. He actually, from the golf course, gave some horrible, horrible insulting statements about both Biden and the Vice President Kamala Harris. This is Trump when he is not scripted, when he's not contained. And I think the proof begins today at the Republican National Convention. You know, over the next 4 days, as Trump is nominated to be the Republican candidate, you know, what will he say in his speech? Will he stay on script, or will he become the combative, the us versus them, the MAGA versus my enemies candidate who is promised on day one of his presidency, should he get there, to be a dictator? What will other speakers be like? Because we're talking about people like the conspiracy theorist, the Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who immediately after the shooting talked about a whole slew of America's enemies. We're talking about Tucker Carlson, the talk show host fired by Fox News for effectively being too provocative and even a white nationalist. We just don't know, Pat, but I think these next 4 days will be a litmus test as to whether Trump goes back to what his success, you know, had been successful for him so far, or whether they do rein in some of this rhetoric, because they know that if Trump is too provocative, it could implode or backfire on him.
Now, the implications for the Secret Service in all of this, I mean, we heard from Simon's report how they had failures in the case of Ronald Reagan and Gerald Ford. So they will be embarrassed by this, but how will it impact on their operations in protecting the candidates going forward?
Well, I think immediately going forward, you're just going to see even more extensive security presence around Biden, around Trump, and around their families. But of course, this was a massive failure in that you had a shooter who was able to be just outside the perimeter, outside the metal detectors, because he got onto the roof of a house, you know, a house that should have been basically screened by security details. That will be part of the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms investigation, as it should be. The worry here is that it may get politicized in that you have some very loud Republican, generally Trumpist legislators who are immediately calling for a congressional investigation of what happened. Again, I think that's fair enough in the immediate context, but this could be used as a way of attacking the Secret Service and, through the Secret Service, as Marjorie Taylor Greene has already done, the Justice Department. Why is that significant? Because we know from Trump's blueprint, from that of Project 2025, that one of the things that the Trump camp want to do is effectively purge the American agencies. They want to put their own people in, their political appointments. They want to basically push out those that they don't like. So this incident could be used as the first steps towards effectively assailing the Justice Department and the Secret Service to accomplish that task.
Scott, thank you very much for joining us. Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. By the way, a classmate of the shooter has described the 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks as a loner who was bullied every day in school.
He was bullied almost every day.
In what way? Can you explain?
He would sit alone at lunch. I mean, he was just an outcast, and you know how kids are nowadays, so they're going to see someone like that, and they're going to target him because they think it's funny or whatever. So it's the best way I can describe it. And it's honestly kind of sad. Like, I don't want to say this is what provoked it, but you never know.
Yeah. You said he was a loner?
Yeah. I want to say he was a loner more because he was just... he was quiet, but like he was just bullied. Like he was bullied so much, so much.
So that was the young Thomas Matthew Crooks bullied in school, and why he wanted to take that out on candidate Trump. Perhaps that will emerge from diaries or from some interaction with his family and his friends.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.